The toy bar is open! Come wander on in, grab a stool, and hang out with a drink while your hosts and toy barflies, Jason Duvall and Dave Draper, discuss, argue, and celebrate their love of toys, games, and all things collectible. Brought to you by Shellhead Comics and More. This is Dave and Duvall's Toys and Collectibles.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to an all-new episode of David Duvall's Toys and Collectibles right here on ToyWorldOrder.com and on iTunes and Stitcher under Toy World Order, brought to you by Shellhead Comics, the Shellhead Comics blog, and more at ShellheadComics.com. Welcome, my co-host, Dave Draper!
Yay!
Gang, we're back for another episode. I think this makes, 263 of these things that we've done?
Wow.
200-something. 200,
yeah. I usually ask you after it's over.
262.
Oh.
262 times we have sat down to record and see how far our wheels will spin before they fall off.
Not always.
Not
there
always.
There were a couple of early ones that you missed out on.
Oh, that's true.
I've been on every one, though. All 262.
You have. Well, to be fair, those that I missed out on, we've renamed. When they went up, they were renamed like Dave and Duvall Toys and Collectibles Special Episode.
Oh, were they?
Yeah. So they weren't.
So they don't even count?
They weren't part of the, well, Blanchard's gonna hate me, but technically the ones Blanchard's didn't count, but you know, Danny co-host.
Wow.
I'm kidding, they all count.
Wow.
Technically we've done probably about 270 of these things.
Yeah, that's hate speech.
I know, right? We've done about 270 of these things with our, whether it was with
I thought you were gonna go for 269.
What's on Joe Mind special we did at JoeCon to,
No, I mean, it was a cool idea, but it was, I think if we'd had a better room, if we'd been able to get into the Mary Todd Lincoln room.
Yeah, they told us, no, you can't go in there. I'm like, there's nothing in there,
it's
man.
Dust.
Just let dirt. Us in there. Unlock the door, let us in, we'll clean up on our way out.
Yeah, whatever.
Jack-offs.
I know, right?
Dang it. We'll talk about some things. We got some toy news to talk about. We've got some movie trailers to talk about. We'll discuss. We'll
answer fan questions. Got an actual movie to talk about.
We've got an actual movie to talk about, so we'll have much. I know, we have quite a bit to discover.
Bursting at the seams.
First on the go, Funko revealed some more Batman 66 items. Basically a new, I don't think they've done pops yet, but a series of Batman TV classic pop vinyl figures. So we get two different versions of the Riddler.
Oh, and of course the good one's the Chase.
Yes, of course, the good one is the Chase. The Penguin, Mr. Freeze, a Batgirl, a King Tut. Yeah, I think we have had them because we've had to have Batman, Robin, Joker.
Yeah, I would assume. Yeah. And I think we've done. I think they've done the Surf's Up ones of those.
Yes. Two. Come on, look at Mr. Freeze. Look at him in all his gloriously.
See, they should have done Mr. Freeze as the variant because we have the two different actors.
That's true. And King Tut, come on.
Yeah.
Who doesn't want a King Tut?
I assume we're going to talk about the 4-inch figures. I'll get a King Tut from that.
We will, yeah. But they also announced that they're doing a classic 66 3¾-inch scale Batmobile,
which they already announced.
Well, they already announced, but we've got a date as well as box art.
Do we have a date?
Oh, May 2017.
Right. Wow.
Yep.
Because Big Bad still doesn't have any of that stuff up for pre-order.
I know.
There's a lot of stuff from Toy Fair they don't have up for pre-order.
Yeah, I know. This is this 11-inch ride is Funko's first ride featuring rolling wheels. It's the first vehicle they've done that actually has rolling wheels.
Because
all of those Funko...
The Pops, yeah.
None of them have rolling wheels, so this one actually will roll. Now, are you getting any of the 66 3¾-inch figures?
Yeah, I'm looking at them all.
Did you order a case of them? Or just...
No, because they're not up for pre-order anywhere that I know of.
Oh.
Once they're up for pre-order, I'll get them.
Well, apparently, the Batmobile, according to the wonderful people over at Toy and T&I...
Yeah, that doesn't always... Oh, okay.
They are indeed up for pre-order. May of 2017, $39.99.
I'm going to screw up your beloved McDonald's line and play set. I put my soda down.
No, that's awful.
I know.
And then,
what do I care?
Oh, fair enough. I don't know if the rest of them are up here, though. We'll go to Batman Classic and... Oh, okay. Well, apparently you want to do that, don't you, Big Bad Toy Store?
Yeah, like they almost have as bad a search system as Facebook does.
Yeah, it looks like the only thing...
See, the only thing is the Batmobile.
Uh-huh, that's what it looks like. Let's see, we'll sort by Batman Classic. We'll sort by... Oh, I guess that's... Yeah, it looks like it's just the Batmobile and the Pops, that's all... They haven't actually put up the figures yet, but the Batmobile's up. So there is that.
The Batmobile just went up.
Yeah.
You're a yacht.
Hey, man, what can I say?
Like, like right on the page, it's in the little square where, like, the newest pre-order is.
Yeah.
You had me all thinking that I'm off my game.
So a company called Trick or Treat Studios, along with Warner Brothers Studios, is bringing an officially licensed Stripe Mogwai puppet prop. It's actually the Gremlin Stripe, but the puppet designed by Russ Lukic, who used original Stripe form as reference, has every detail of the villainous Stripe.
They also have an evil Gremlin puppet.
As well as it's a hand puppet. It is a freaking hand puppet. Yes, and they also have a evil Gremlin too, yes.
Yeah, because that's also on Big Bad's pre-order page, which I'm looking at right now.
Yes.
And they're only $190 a pop.
That's not terrible for a puppet like that.
That's not terrible, but that's also not happening.
My God, could you imagine having that on the show with the puppet? And the puppet and the Gremlin are fighting? Puppet. Hiya Toys showed off a new image of their Aliens Colonial Marines Cruise.
Yeah, him.
Captain Jeremy Cruise.
I think that's the main character from the video game.
Yeah. Well, he's got a robotic leg.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Yeah, look at that.
Of course, to be fair, it's a first-person shooter, so you don't really see yourself.
Yeah, you don't really get to see yourself, but...
It looks much better than the ones they released.
Yes, yeah, it does.
But that doesn't mean anything. That could just be like a really nicely done prototype.
Yes. The good people at Hot Toys, of course, surprise, surprise, are coming out with an all-new Spider-Man Homecoming 1/6 version of Spider-Man. And this is, which we'll talk about from the trailer in a little bit, which we learned that this Spider-Man and his homemade getup is actually... is probably actually going to be featured in most of the film. Or at least a good
most of the film.
At least a good portion of the film.
See, I disagree. I think it'll be like the last third.
Yeah.
When we get to the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
But he'll come with an expertly crafted costume, head sculpt with the authentic likeness of Tom Holland as Peter Parker, one masthead sculpt with three sets of interchangeable eyepieces, one pair of fists, one pair of open palms, one pair of hands for web shooting, one left hand for holding spiderweb, one right hand for holding his mask, one Spider-Man mask, which is not wearable on the figure, one open spiderweb effect accessory, five strings of spiderweb in different shapes and lengths attachable to the web shooters, and one specifically designed dynamic figure stand with the logo. And this will come out at the end of this year, so we'll see this probably fall or winter.
That's pretty quick for a hot toy.
Yeah, it is pretty quick for a hot toy. But it looks, it's Hot Toys. The picture looks amazing. I do like the homemade costume look, though. It looks like the eyepieces were made out of, like, I don't know, dude. I'd love to know. Like, they almost look like they're water bottle caps or something.
Yeah.
But they're expressive, which is fun. Because that was one of my favorite things about the costume in Civil War was... it was very expressive.
My guess is that, again, we'll talk about it in the trailer.
Yeah.
But, I'll probably forget by then. But my guess is he tinkers with the homemade costume after he has to, like, readopt
it. Apparently, the future of DC Collectibles line of DC Icons figures, the 6-inch line they've been doing, is that apparently it is going to be ending. They plan on...
That was a sentence.
Yeah, well... there have been rumors indicating the entire line would soon be ending, or DC Collectibles plans to discontinue releasing single-carded figures in favor of diorama two-packs, similar to the upcoming Superman vs. Doomsday set. They announced today that Shazam, Sinestro, and Deadshot icon figures have all indeed been canceled, as well as the Blue Beetle Booster Gold set has been canceled as well. Mostly due to low interest from retailers. Here's their problem, is that DC Collectibles starts doing these... really good 6-inch icon figures of these DC characters. Problem is that everyone's already got pretty much all of these from Mattel.
Yeah.
And yes, these are better figures, but we get back to the thing which you've talked about before, is like, how often do you go to the well as a collector where you're like, I've got four of those. Why am I going to buy another one from another company? Because it looks, you know, what...
But, I mean, and also, it's... the well is not deep, especially with DC.
Right.
Like, yeah, maybe you're a Superman guy, so you'll buy a bunch of different Superman figures.
Yeah.
A Sinestro figure, especially in the Yellow Lantern Corps, that's you know, Deadshot.
Mattel did a really good Sinestro in the Yellow.
Yeah. Mattel did a fine. Yeah,
Mattel. And DC Direct themselves have done a number of six.
And that's the other thing is, yeah, like all these guys have been done by DC Direct in the past as well. So you're really just there's only so many times you can do that.
Right. Like. I don't know, man. I think those figures are great. I thought they were phenomenal when they started.
I've got a couple. I've got the Joker, and I've got the new Batgirl, which ironically, then I got the Batgirl from Mattel.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, the same outfit, the Burnside Batgirl.
Yeah.
It's just
a worse figure.
Yeah, it's not as good. It's not anywhere near as good.
No.
But, you know, I got her because she was part of the King Shark Wave, and I wanted that part.
You wanted that part. So, one of our fans had posted on the fan group that they had read that the line was being canceled, and I just replied, doesn't surprise me.
Yeah,
I mean, they were talking about it at Toy Fair, the fact that we don't know if this line's going to continue. We need you, the fan support, to go to your local retailers and order it. And the fans were like, dude, my money's thin as it is.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, like, everybody's got me spread thin, so I ain't got no money to spend on it. I can't. And again, like you said, it's like, you've already got these characters in your collection. Especially if you're a Marvel Legends scale collector, it's like, I don't want to buy them again, even though they're better characters. I've already got them, and for cheaper.
Yeah.
So, part of me is kind of sad, but part of me is also like, well, that's the toy business for you. That's how it goes.
I mean, it's always been weird to me that DC has sort of allowed Mattel to do a line and then competed with it.
Yes, yeah. Which never made any damn sense.
Well, I mean, I guess they kept it going for all this time, and they're still keeping it going to some degree, but, you know, and then now NECA's in on it, too.
Yeah.
You know?
Now so, NECA's doing this, and it's like, ugh. No, I mean, nothing against NECA, but it's just like,
oh, enough. But NECA's like, doing, the problem is NECA's doing stuff that I want, you know, like Keaton Batman, and Reeves Superman, and, you know, Superman versus Muhammad Ali set, and, you know.
Did you buy that set yet?
No. I don't care about that. I know our friend Scotty was really into that, but I'm not really that into it. But you know, like interesting stuff that nobody else is doing.
Right.
You know, I mean, although they did do, you know, another Arkham Asylum Harley or Arkham City Harley.
Right.
Which, you know, well, yeah, I like that. I like
Dave
that.
Dave bought like it. Yeah, Dave bought it.
That's my favorite Harley.
Yeah. Some movie trailers that debuted this week and the past week. We got to see... this week and last week, I should say. We got to see a second trailer for Spider-Man Homecoming, which you were saying we'd get to, which gave us a little bit more...
It gave us the whole story,
basically. Spider-Man trying to be like the Avengers, trying to be like Tony Stark and Iron Man.
Yeah, he wants to be a hero, he wants to be an Avenger, he wants to be like Iron Man.
Tony wants him to be better than he is.
Well, I think Tony wants him to take his time and not rush it, and be a better, you know, be better overall.
Yeah, we get our first look at Keaton as the Vulture.
See, people keep saying that, but we saw the Vulture before, and we've seen Keaton before. I don't get it. Yeah.
But I mean, we get to see a little more of.
Yeah. Whatever.
Like it's obvious that he's.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw a video. There's a YouTube channel I like that talks about inside movie stuff, and they really have it in for Sony. So
really,
So I kind of enjoy that because I get a lot of inside stuff on Sony. So they're talking about they had a copy.
Well, everyone got a lot of insight on Sony thanks to the email leaks about a year and a half ago.
they had like the first draft of the script,
right?
Which it clearly is not going to be the final movie. Just
no,
like, I could tell as they were talking because I'm like. Okay, there's no Washington, D.C. in this script, and...
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there's no... But I think some stuff got adapted, so my guess is, based on what I've heard from that script and what I've seen from the trailer, is that Keaton is probably, like, a former employee of Stark. Yeah, and he got let go when they stopped making weapons.
That would make sense.
Because that's kind of... In the original script, he was an employee of Oscorp who got fired.
Ah, okay. That makes sense. They just kind of adjusted everything.
Yeah, I think they kind of... I'm kind of glad they're not going the Osborn route.
Yeah, I am too. It's like because
the original script was very heavily Osborn.
Right. So,
although it's interesting because I noticed his best friend, the guy with the Death Star, the fat kid.
Yes,
I can say that I'm a fat kid.
That's right. Dave's the fat kid.
Name is Ned Leeds, and then I checked on the IMDb, and there's a Jason McIndale, and I'm like, Ooh, Hobgoblin.
Oh,
because both of those guys were Hobgoblin.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, Ned was framed for being Hobgoblin, but Macindale was Hobgoblin.
Oh.
So I'm just like, Hobgoblin.
Interesting.
And, I mean, I don't assume in this movie, but
right, interesting. Like
setting it up, and then they're talking all this stuff about doing a Venom movie.
Well, okay, we'll get to that.
Already
we'll,
done.
We'll get to that in a second.
They've already done the prequel for that.
We'll get to that in a second. So the trailer, you get to see, okay. You get to see. It's obvious that they gave Spider-Man a little bit more gadgets when he's in Stark's costume. He's got his little spider tracer,
yeah,
that pops off his chest, which is kind of neat. Yeah, it looks like. I mean, the trailer, we got to see a little bit more. We pretty much the entire plot of the film.
I mean, basically he's Spider-Man, yeah. And he's spidering, and he's trying to like win Tony's, you know, notice me, senpai for Tony, and,
right.
Tony's like, cool your jets, you know, things are real tricky right now because of the whole... And then his...
Because I created this superhero registry thing.
Yeah, well, because I created this giant robot that destroyed an East European country.
Yes.
And now there's, like, a registry, so you got to kind of cool your jets.
Yeah.
And then his best buddy finds out he's Spider-Man, so they have a little fun with that. And meanwhile, the Vulture's causing trouble.
Yeah.
And Spidey wants to stop it to prove himself to Tony, and Tony's like, just chill out. And then there's the scene on the ferry, I'm guessing, is midpoint through the film. And Spidey kind of jumps the gun and gets in trouble. And
Iron Man saves the
day. Iron Man saves him. It takes a costume back. And then the Vulture pushes it. And so he's got to, like, you know, use his old homemade costume and take the Vulture down and win Tony back. And Tony, you know, in the end, Tony, like, gives him the costume back.
Yeah. Okay, but...
And then the Shocker's in it, too, for some reason.
Yeah, the Shocker's in it, too, for some reason. But, moving on from that, yes, also this week, Sony announced that they were going forward with plans for a standalone Venom film.
Or which, the sequel to Life.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Which is not anywhere in the Marvel Universe. Like, Sony still owns the rights to Venom. They're going to use that. Like, that is nothing... I guess that Marvel's deal with them has nothing to do with Venom, so...
Apparently.
Yep, yeah, so they're going to use Venom however they see fit, so they're going to put together a film based on Venom, which, yes, again...
And Silver Sable and Black Cat.
Yeah.
I'm a little annoyed about Black Cat, because I'm like, she's a good Spidey villain. I don't like taking her off the...
Yeah, but...
Off the board.
That could change. I mean, if they do these films and they bomb, that could change, of course.
Yeah.
Because once Sony starts to realize, oh, well, we cannot make a Spider-Verse movie without our friends at Marvel... we cannot make them well.
Well, they already knew that. That's how the Spider... That's how
well,
the Spider
exactly. But now they're like, we've got these other characters. Let's keep using them. No, Sony, stop it. Let Marvel have their toys back, and you just take some of the profits and, you know...
Yeah, you go ahead, you
basically
go,
spend half of the risk, get all the rewards.
You go ahead and spend $300 million on a Venom movie. Because Venom's not going to be a cheap character to do.
No, it is not. No, it is not. Also this week, we got a new little short trailer for Pirates of the Caribbean 5, which really didn't show us anything new. Dave is very thrilled. We got our first look at the new adaptation of Stephen King's It.
Yeah.
Which
I was a little confused by, because it looks like they only adapted half the book.
Yeah, it does, unless
they're holding the adults back, or unless it's a two-film thing. Because everybody's got these crazy schemes. Because of Marvel, everybody's got crazy schemes.
Yeah, everybody wants to make a universe.
Yeah.
So, let's make it a universe! No, don't make it a universe. A new teaser for Pixar's new movie, Coco, premiered last week, which is a movie they'd been trying to make, I don't know, in this form, but they had been trying to make a film based around the Mexican holiday, the Day of the Dead. I believe that's what it's called, right?
Sure, why not?
And I don't remember what the Sony Pictures or I don't remember from Sony Animation Studio or who it was that
somebody
made,
did one, yeah.
Yeah, somebody did one, and then Pixar kind of pulled it out of their, you know, out of the run for a little bit to focus on Cars 3.
Oh, good.
Yeah. But they released a teaser for it today that kind of showed a little bit of it. It looks like a beautiful film, much like most of Pixar's fare does. They all look gorgeous.
Yeah, they look good.
What other trailers premiered this week?
Justice League.
Justice League was premiered Saturday morning.
Yes.
While we were standing in line while I was standing in line waiting to buy food for Power Rangers, I looked down at my phone. I was like, everybody's talking about. I'm like, oh, the Justice League trailer premiered this morning. I watched it. Dave watched it. I have
the Who will be disappointed in me because I have been fooled again.
Yes. It's a great looking trailer. It looks like it's going to be
hyped.
A fun movie.
It looks good.
It looks like it's going to be a great like team picture, you know, with Batman as the leader.
Yes. which it should be.
As it should be. But, you know, we got great glimpses. You know, we've seen Wonder Woman, but we got more glimpses of the Flash in action. More glimpses of Aquaman in his actual costume. Batman being Batman.
Cyborg
in action. Cyborg was not great. Like, I'm hoping
that... The CGI was a little... Well, it was a trailer CGI.
I'm hoping they clean all that up for the film.
I'm sure they will.
I mean, they've got till November, but wow, it was not good.
That one shot was a little cartoony.
Yeah, it was not good. Our first look at J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon.
Liked it.
Which was a great... He had one of the great lines of the film.
Glad to see you're finally playing well with others again.
So how did Batman... What did Batman say?
Well, then Aquaman comes up and goes, dressed like a bat. I dig it.
Yeah.
He goes, maybe temporary.
Yeah, maybe temporary. And then we got
Aquaman stole that trailer, man.
Yeah, and we got a great scene at the very end of Aquaman basically surfing on the Batmobile as Batman is rumbling down the road.
Yeah.
Attacking villains with his trident. So it looks...
Parademons.
Yeah, the Parademons. It looks like it's going to be, hopefully, a decent film. Hopefully. One can hope.
I'm hype.
And then once we get pulled in, David, and it all turns to crap again.
Then Superman will show up, and I'll be like,
not the Supers,
no.
Man.
Well, you know he's in it.
I know. Well, not till the very end, but
hopefully.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. Damn it, Superman.
Keep hoping they'll be like, everybody's so excited about this trailer, and Superman's on it. Maybe we should recut the film.
No, don't.
Leave him dead.
No, yes, leave him dead.
Leave him dead.
Leave him dead. No one cares about the Supermans in the movies.
People care about Superman, but that just, it's a terrible Superman.
Not the emo Superman who's like, so sad. My dad died because I let him die, and I could have saved him, and no one would have seen it, but I didn't.
Then horses were drowned or something. I don't understand
what's happening, and I just couldn't just...
I don't want
to
be a hero.
I didn't want to be a hero, but I could have saved
Congress from being blown up, but I was stupid.
Yes, I created all this damage and didn't save anyone. That's so awful. I'm Superman. I hear him as Tina from Bob's Burgers. That's what I hear when I think of the emo Superman. I think of Tina from Bob's Burgers, and it makes me smile gloriously.
Mm.
Tina's one of my favorite characters from the movie.
It's appropriate.
Yes. It is indeed appropriate. What do you say before we talk in spoiler length about the Power Rangers?
Oh my god, really?
I know, right? What do you say we get the fan questions out of the way, so if anyone hasn't seen Power Rangers yet...
Yeah, so we don't spoil the Power Rangers movie.
They
could all die horribly, and it could be a tragic ending.
If you haven't seen Power Rangers yet, you can listen to the fan questions and then turn the podcast off until you see the Power Rangers, and then you can come back to the podcast.
Sure, somebody cares about that movie.
Fan questions.
Not enough to go see it opening weekend, but enough to be upset if we spoil that the Power Rangers win.
James DeQuinas says, mostly for Duvall, but for both of us.
Oh, thanks.
What's your favorite 90s horrible or awful toy line that you've collected so far? I'll let Dave go first. Do you have any awful, horrible 90s toy line? I mean, you've got some Kenner stuff from the 90s, which is pretty horrible, but they're classic toy lines, but they're not great.
Probably Congo would probably be my favorite horrible toy line.
I remember you bought the Congo toys because Danny bought the Congo toys.
No.
Or is it the other way around? Danny bought the Congo toys because you bought the Congo toys?
I don't know. There are a couple of toy lines I'll freely admit I got because Danny got them.
Yes.
But no, Congo I got because I wanted the apes.
Oh, yes.
So I thought the apes were cool.
Yes.
And, like, the thing was just there was a lot on eBay, and you got all the figures, too. I'm like, I guess.
Yeah, and then I felt left out because you guys both had Congo figures, and I had none.
Yeah.
So I bought them, too. Except I bought the whole line. Vehicles and all, baby. I went all in.
I did get the playset for Superpowers because Danny got it.
Yeah.
I'm jealous.
Well, Danny got that at C2E2 for, like, $50 or something like that. And you were like, oh. And then, like, what? Like, not even a year later, you were like, I bought the...
No, it was literally at
was
the
it,
next...
Was it at the next...
It was at King County, like, the next day.
That you were like, I bought one, too!
I bought one, too.
Danny.
Like, Danny.
David C.
If I could be like Danny. Danny.
Actually, my favorite 90s horrible and awful toy line is actually one step closer to being completed as of today. And it is James Bond Jr.
Oh, yeah.
It is an awful Hasbro toy line.
What are you missing on that?
I'm missing Jaws, and I'm missing the Good Guy motorcycle.
Huh.
And thanks to Zombie Sailor Toys on Instagram, I just got an awesome deal on a carded Jaws that is coming to me for, like, awesome deal. Jaws is the one figure I did not pick up at last King County. I picked up everyone but Jaws that I didn't have, and I forgot to get Jaws. So I'm glad that I waited, because now all I need is the darn motorcycle, and I'm done. That's a horrible toy line that's marked off the checklist. That's one of my favorite awful toy lines. Only probably because I had James Bond Jr., I had Gordo, the skateboarding dude. I had both those guys when I was a kid. Yeah,
that's Felix Leiter's kid.
Is it?
Yeah. I think his name's Gordo Leiter.
Yeah, I had both of those toys when I was younger. Those were the only two James Bond Jr. figures I had. One of my childhood friends had the same James Bond Jr. figure I had, but that was it. Like, we never got any other ones. And then there was a Toy Man.
Yeah, probably that line sucked and nobody bought it and it died.
Exactly. Toy Man probably, I don't know, 3 or 4, maybe 5 years ago. Well, no, it was longer than that because that new Toy Smoke was happening.
That would be
7 years ago. A car dealer, like a Hot Wheels dealer, had a whole collection of them on his table, like everyone, for like $2 a pop. And I'm thinking, it's a lot.
Those were the days.
It's actually a lot of figures. And I was like, would you take $1 a piece for him? And he's like, I can't do that. And I was like, I can't buy him then. Because I'm thinking, if he does $1 a piece, I have enough for all of them. But I don't have, I don't have the money for $2 a piece on him when you combine them all. I was like, I just don't have it. That was one of those things. I was like, man, I wish I could have done that on that new toy smell back in the day. Yeah, those were the good old days of the Toy Man Toy Show. When there were indeed...
And there were great bargains like that.
Yes. I mean, you still find bargains every
sometimes,
now and then. But...
And I don't want to single out, because I think all toy shows have gotten that way.
Yes, they've all gotten that way. Jason Metzger says, with the big summer movie starting to gear up, which ones do you think will have a nice new toy lines and which ones will have very poor ones? I think we've seen pretty much at this point or in the next month or so all the toy lines that are coming out for all the films.
I think so.
I mean, Planet of the War of the Planet of the Apes or whatever, the new Planet of the Apes films, that'll probably have some NECA figures again, maybe. I don't remember seeing anything from them from Toy Fair.
I wasn't looking.
We got Power Ranger toys. We're getting Guardians toys.
We've
gotten Guardians toys.
Two scales.
Yes.
Hey, actually, you know what? I will say that the 4-inch figures are actually really nicely done.
Really?
Yeah, I was surprised. Like the Doctor Strange and the Guardians figures.
Their pity parting gift to you.
Their pity parting gift to us this whole out. They're actually really nicely done.
Well, that's good.
So I'm very pleased.
I don't know if we're going to see any other toy lines for any of these films coming up. It used to be back in the day where... Wonder Woman's getting a line.
Of Multiverse. Justice League
will get
probably figures. Get a Multiverse, and it'll probably get, like Batman vs. Superman get its own kid line.
Yep. But beyond that, I really don't see... I mean, you've got Cars that are, that line has never stopped. So there'll be toys out for that. But it's not like it was back in the, early to late 90s where it was every summer had big tentpole films and all those tentpole films had toy lines. I mean, for God's sakes, we just talked about Congo a little bit ago.
Yeah.
That movie did not deserve toys.
Well, they thought it was going to be the next Jurassic Park.
Oh, they did. And it wasn't.
No.
Just because it was written by Michael Crichton. Because
it was written by Michael Crichton.
And it's nothing like the book.
No.
Not at all. Mike Irizarry says, anybody want to buy a monkey? Thank you, David Letterman.
Actually, the thing is, I think Carrie would have. She eventually just married one.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey-o!
That's true.
I've been waiting days to do that.
Hey, look, I have these awesome needle-nose pliers here. And your crotch is open to me right now. Which means I'm going to use these to cause you great pain.
No, you're not.
What?
Don't do it.
Oh, son of a... You're lucky I like you. You're lucky you're my best friend. Chad Ploof says, most wanted toy at the moment.
You go first. I went first on the other thing. First on the crappy night.
Most
toys.
Wanted toy at the moment. I need the other sword jet from Defenders of the Earth.
Yes, you do. I have not weaseled a deal to get that.
I have not, no. That is the only Defenders of the Earth vehicle I need. I have Gripjaw, thanks to Mr. Plouffe, and his generosity at offering me the second one that he found. But I do not have that sword ship. I have seen it at one Kane County in the last couple of years, and the guy wanted dang near $80 for it.
Dang.
And which is, at the time, I was like, that's a little much. But now it's like, that's not a bad deal, because the prices on those have skyrocketed. Because they're just getting harder and harder to find. So,
I don't like. My thing is, I guess my most wanted toys are. I went through today because I was going through and trying to like find those last couple Star Wars figures that I already have. I have a version of them,
right? But you wanted better
version. I want nicer versions, right? Of them and complete,
right?
So I was going through and like, of course, some of the weapons are just like. Like, you go through and every listing on eBay is repo.
Yeah.
So I went through my little bin and I'm like, okay, who do I have the weapons for and who do I not have the weapons for?
Right.
And so, you know, it's like my most wanted things is I need a Biker Scout blaster and a couple of Ewok spears, which pisses me off because I had those forever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm just, I want to finish off Star Wars, like, in style.
Right.
Like, technically it's done, but I want to, like, really... get that done.
Right.
Get all the figures.
Yep.
Because I may have splurged a little in the post tax paying.
Oh, really?
Euphoria. A little bit.
Did we get some droids figures?
No, we
didn't get droids figures.
We did get a couple superpowers figures, and I'm done.
Oh, good.
I have all the figures.
So, let's see.
And here's the thing, like
Pharaoh.
Oh, I've had Pharaoh.
Who were the last ones you were?
Silver Surfer. Marvel.
Samurai.
Samurai is also Marvel. Silver Samurai is Marvel.
Dang it.
No, I needed Flash and Firestorm, who are deceptively difficult to get.
Weird.
Because their faces are painted. You can find them, but they're the flesh of their faces is painted, so they always have their nose tipped off. And then Green Lantern, who again is... Like, all these guys aren't, like, rare.
Right.
But, like, they all have... certain issues that are endemic to them, so to find a nice one is actually really hard.
Yeah,
surprisingly hard. Green Lantern and Red Tornado. Red Tornado's easier for
me. Oh yeah, well you had splurged early on and bought all the hard to find ones.
We'll save that story for another day. But yeah, when I got serious about superpowers, I mean I had about half the line when I really got serious about it.
Right.
Yeah, I started with like the biggest gun.
Yeah.
And work my way
Cyborg
down.
Cyborg or Plastic Man?
Cyborg.
Cyborg.
Oh, God. Cyborg is, like, monstrously expensive.
Yeah. Several hundred dollars expensive.
Sure.
Yeah. We'll give it enough. Floorburger here. Good old Josh Flood. Go, go, Toy World Order Rangers. He asked me to say that to the tune of the original song. You can't really. There's too many words.
Too many syllables.
Yeah. If it was go, go, Toy World Order, that would work, but adding the Rangers in there just didn't work. Using Toy World Order people, who would you cast as your Toy World Order Rangers? Who would be Zordon, Alpha 5, and the big bad guy? Well, obviously the puppet would be the big bad guy.
Yes.
Dave and I would...
See, now it's like going to be a knife fight. Who gets Alpha 5 and who gets Zordon?
Well, I'm thinking you would be Zordon. I would be Alpha 5.
All right.
Danny would be the Green Ranger. Flood would have to be Billy.
Ouch.
I know, right? Chad would be the Black Ranger. Oh, God. I don't know, man. That's all I got. Like, that's a tough... Like anywhere else, I'm like, oh, people are gonna be mad that they didn't get picked. I'm also with Danny as the Green Ranger / White Ranger because, well, let's face it, Danny's the coolest of us all. let's just not kill ourselves anymore. We know a YouTube celebrity.
Yeah,
but yeah, the puppet would definitely have to be
the puppet would be the villain.
Oh God, yes. Most bad monsters grow. That's what Rita used to say when she'd throw her staff at the monster and they jr-jr-jr-jr-jr. And then they have to form the Megazord.
Yeah.
Destroy the monster.
The monster.
Glenn Johnson says, when you guys get something new, how long does it take for you to put it into your collection? Well.
Depends.
I guess that depends, Glenn. For Dave, sometimes the next day, sometimes a month.
Yeah, it can be the next day or it can be a month.
It
depends.
Depends on what it is. If it's a Marvel Legend or DC multiverse figure, Dave will probably put off doing that as long as he possibly can.
Yeah, that'll sit for a while.
Because he has to dismantle everything to put it all back together.
At this point, sometimes. Literally anything is like that, though, down there.
This is
what
true.
That's what I did after, like, because we didn't go to the toy show Sunday. That's what I did, is I went and I got the bookcases I was talking about.
Oh, yes.
Because I got to make room for that Playmobil stuff. The Playmobil Ghostbuster stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that I did.
No.
Ultimately. Like, I guess it'll depend on how big thought, that firehouse ends up being.
So you thought you were making room, and it turns out, no, you weren't.
Well, it turns out that that bookcase was not as wide as I would hope. But I did get space, so all my superpowers are all together.
Oh, nice. So you took
I was happy about.
You took them out of the other displays. And
all the other displays. Again, there's like a whole story
I know
behind the superpowers being picked up hot.
It started as one thing and became another. And ultimately
it literally started as one thing and became another.
Yeah, became a whole other thing. Are you ever going to get all the vehicles for that line?
No.
No? Not even the Dark Side one? The Dark Side one's cool.
Dark Side one's cool, but like, no.
No. I'm sad about that.
I got the Batmobile and I got the one thing I don't have on the display is the Hall of Justice because it was pretty well ensconced in another display.
Yeah, it's being used
for... It's a load-bearing playset. It can't be moved.
No, it cannot.
I mean, it could be, but that would be... My weekend was destroyed as it was.
Yeah, Dave's not destroying it anymore. For me, I guess it just depends. Like, we'll buy a bunch of new stuff and then I'll bring it downstairs and set it aside. And it's either... It just depends on what Carrie and I's schedule is with the animals and what's happening and what we're doing in order to, you know, be like, all right, well, I guess I'll go downstairs for a while and do this. So, it's just the same with me. It could be the next day. It could be a year later, honestly, before I'm like, oh yeah, I guess I should put that away finally.
I don't think I've gone a year, but I mean,
well, like I've gone several months now because Fortress Max is still sitting on the TV stand out there and has never made his way into the Transformers collection.
No.
Every once in a while, he's reposed to flip off the bird to people, but, you know.
That one was easy for me, because it was just like, it's on the floor in front of the other Transformers.
Yes. Our buddy Jeff May says, have you seen the commercial for the new show on ABC called Toy Box? And if so, what are your thoughts?
Oh, on ABC called Toy Box?
Yeah, the Toy Box.
I thought he said it was on ABC Toy Box.
No, it's called the
Toy Box. Which I've never heard of.
It's a kind of like a...
Is it a Hembro thing?
No, it's not a Hembro thing. No, it is not. It is kind of like a... what is the sharks?
Shark Tank?
It's kind of like Shark Tank.
Where they pitch a toy?
But with toys, and the judges are all kids.
Okay.
Yeah, so, and it's a Mattel-based thing, so the winning toy will ultimately be made by Mattel. I've seen the commercial. I knew about this show about a year ago. I'd heard that they were doing it, and I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I'm like, another reality show for Greg. I don't know. I'll be interested to see who wins and why it wins, but I'm not really that interested. I may watch the first couple episodes and be like, eh, I don't want to watch this anymore. Christopher Haywood says, what are some of the coolest knockoffs that you've seen, not counting compatible toys put out by actual companies such as Rimco's Warlord series, and no, Dave, GoBots do not count.
Okay, first of all, I would never say that GoBots are one of the coolest knockoffs I've ever seen.
Are they one of the worst knockoffs you've ever seen?
Because GoBots aren't that cool. So let's just get that out of the way now.
The coolest knockoff I've ever seen, and I own it, is the knockoff. It's like the Super Ninja head from Chuck Norris Karate Commandos and one of the ninja bodies, but it's like this hard rubber figure, and they made a crap ton of different versions of it. And I found that at a C2E2 and thought, oh my god, it's a knockoff Chuck Norris Karate Commando figure. I must own this. So it is now in my collection. That is probably the coolest knockoff.
My coolest knockoff, I have two of them. Because I got one, we found one in a bin at Dealer Dan's. And because it wasn't complete, that I ended up getting one in package.
Oh, yes.
It's a Transformers knockoff, but it's not a GoBot. It's like Grimlock, and his transformation is exactly like Grimlock's.
Yes.
But he turns into Godzilla, or he turns into
a version of Godzilla.
A Godzilla-esque monster.
Godzilla, not Godzilla.
Yeah, it's like a double knockoff.
Yes.
So many copyrights violated.
We looked through so many bins at Dealer Dan's looking for his tail.
We didn't understand that the tail wasn't really a tail. It was like a flat, black piece of plastic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's his gun.
Yes. We never found it.
We wouldn't have known. We could have looked right at it and not known.
That's true.
That's my point.
That's true. And then Dave found another one that
I found one on eBay. Yeah. And then it's weird because it's technically part of a line of generic Transformer knockoff toys that like Danny had bought me a couple years earlier.
Yes, for like Christmas.
And they're like super super cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my favorite knockoff.
Yes.
Not GoBots.
Alexis Lasik says, let's say you have a few hundred dollars, but you can only buy toys and games with it. What do you get? Well, that's every day for Dave.
That's not every day for Dave.
But it's most Dave. No. If I had a few $100, like right now, I would probably, I'd go on the
and you
hunt.
Can't, yeah, you can't like, oh, it's, I would pay down my debt. And...
No, I would go on the hunt to get X-Ray and the whipping General Warhawk from Rambo to finish off Rambo. And the accessories to Snakebite. Like, I'd buy those three things and be done with Rambo.
How many hundreds are we talking about?
Like 400 or 500.
Yeah. Goes much faster than you think.
Yeah, I know.
Believe me, that I do know. I'd push to finish off Star Wars.
Oh yeah,
like the figures. And,
yeah,
and then you know, if I could do that cheaply, which I can't. I can't. You right. know, I pick up a vehicle or two.
Yeah.
Like the TIE fighter in the box, a nice box. The X-wing in a box, a nice box.
Right. Some ideas there. Alexa says, also, what was the worst toy that you bought? I go back to this answer. It keeps getting
Tales
asked.
From the Crypt Keeper.
Tales from the Crypt Keeper was the worst toys that I've ever bought and seen. I hate them with every fiber of my being. They were the worst things ever. Ever. They were awful. Like, the Crypt Keeper figures are nice looking, but all of their action figures were dumb. Like, you press the legs on the vampire and he'd like raise his hands and he was supposed to swoop his cape out, but the cape was just like attached with these two little loops and it didn't do anything. And then he had these two weird, like, different size fangs that would pop out of his head. And you're like, really? That's it? Really? Really? And like the werewolf was supposed to, like, you press his legs and he's supposed to rear his arms back and raise his head, but he didn't really, like, and his mouth was supposed to open, but it didn't really work quite right. So, like, the arms wouldn't go, but the head would snap. It was, ugh, I hate that line so much. What about you, Dave?
I'm trying to think. I mean, probably I would say some early Power of the Force 2 stuff.
Yes.
This is garbage.
Yes. Just I'm Luke Skywalker. Garbage. I've been lifting and drinking my Powerade.
You know, I let that one slide because it kind of looks like him from the poster.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's one of the few I let slide, but like...
What about the buff Princess Leia?
Yeah, Princess Leia's awful.
Yeah, that first whole wave was pretty bad. Or buff Ben Kenobi.
Yeah, yeah. You know, what else has he got to do out there?
That's true.
The Judlin.
I've been lifting, man. The Jedi's are dead, but I've been lifting.
Been lifting.
You lift, bro? what was the worst game, board, or video that you have ever played? Trying to think if we've played a really horrible one on board yet.
The game itself wasn't necessarily bad, but I think one of the worst experiences was the first time we did Steampunk Rally.
Oh, yes.
And Bill and I were really tired.
Yes.
Bill especially, because it was a Friday night game.
Yep.
And Bill works.
Brad was trying to explain that.
This is one of those like really overly complicated, crazy whatever.
Yes.
And yeah, and we just weren't into it, and Brad was getting pissed off at us because we weren't picking it up on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he was finally like, so do you want to play or not? And everybody, then mostly Dave and Bill were like, I'm not really. And he like angrily packed up everything, and it was just like, oh my. I don't know if we've really played a bad board game. Like, video games, I don't remember a whole lot of some of the bad ones. I played a lot of bad ones, but board game wise, I'm trying to think, has there been a bad, like, there's been some bad games on board, but have they been truly, truly terrible?
Smurfs video game on ColecoVision was garbage.
Smurfs video game on ColecoVision was pretty bad.
E.T., I actually played E.T., I owned E.T.
Yep, E.T. was pretty terrible. Pac-Man on Atari 2600
was pretty bad.
Is a horrible game.
It was pretty clunky.
People blame E.T. for the fall of the video game
they
market.
Do.
It wasn't E.T.'s fault entirely. It started with Pac-Man. And Pac-Man was an awful game that has no resemblance to the arcade version.
It's some resemblance.
Not really.
I've played it. I've played both.
I have too, but it's very vague, man.
Well, it's, yeah. You gotta squint really hard.
Yes, yeah, very hard. And Alexis goes on to say, hope all is well with you guys and your families and your pets. It seems going pretty well.
Knock on wood.
Well, that out of the way, with some fan questions gone, Dave and I are going to spend some time to talk about the newest iteration of Power Rangers on the big screen, the first big screen film in 20 years, probably?
Sure, why
somewhere
not?
Like that?
I don't know.
Something like that. Maybe 15.
I don't know.
But if you have not seen it yet, feel free to turn the podcast off now and come back. And
you don't have to go home, but you can stay here.
That's right. And we'll be back in just a second to talk about Power Rangers. So Dave and I, on Saturday morning, journey to the local cinema, because I like to go see this. I like to go to the cinema.
Do you?
I do. We went to the cinema to see. I gotta stop saying cinema. We went to the movie theater to check out the new Power Rangers film, which Dave was not at all very happy to go see.
No, I was not.
I kind of dragged him to go see it.
You did.
Even when, especially since we haven't been to see Kong yet, Dave was even less happy to go see Power Rangers.
A little irritable about that.
Dave was, yes. But we journeyed to go see Power Rangers. Dave, your thoughts on the film? Because I was quite surprised by...
I think it helped. In a weird way, I think it helped that I had no attachment to Power Rangers whatsoever.
Yes.
And that I think that show hit 93, if I'm not mistaken. And that was the year I graduated college. So
Dash, get a drink.
Yeah, I was like, what is that noise?
That's Dash getting a drink of water. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's 93, graduating college.
Graduated college, no real attachment to Power Rangers whatsoever. And that's not, you know, people get mad when you say you don't like the things that they like.
Yeah, that's not a knock.
It drives me crazy. It's not a knock. It's just I was too old for the property.
You don't get mad when I'm like, I don't really like Star Wars that much.
I get furious, but I keep it all inside.
It's bottled up.
Because
I am emotionally charged.
My best friend is a monster. And that says something about me, and that makes me even angrier. That I've failed as a human being so deeply.
I don't even like
that I have to be best friends with just this troll-like creature that doesn't like Star Wars.
I don't even like G.I. Joe that much.
That's just a lie. I'll let Irizarry deal with you. But yeah, so I wasn't attached to it. So like, all whatever they got wrong about the movie didn't bother me. Because I don't give a crap.
Yeah, because you were like,
I knew just enough of it to follow along. But yeah, I was surprised. I think what people knock the film about, and I think somewhat justifiably, the knock on the film is that it's too good a film.
Yes,
that it actually developed. You know, for once in one of these summer blockbuster action stupid movies, they focus on the characters.
Yes,
and they develop the characters and they let the characters have a story. And you care about these people.
Yeah.
But the problem with that is it's a 2-hour and 44-minute movie, and you really only get like serious action at the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's a problem. But yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was much better than I thought it would be. The really horrible, ugly designs of Zords didn't bother me as much as I thought they would.
No.
Even the, like, because I went into it, I'd seen a review, I'd seen a couple of people talk about how the Krispy Kreme thing was really ridiculously overplayed. And
right.
Then the second half of the movie, it kind of was. But even that didn't bother me that much. I think I was having more fun with it than anything else.
Yeah, you were.
Well, at one point, Rita Repulsa literally is like, Krispy Kreme, the stuff of life. And you're wow.
Yeah, you're like, all right, well
That's, you know, 10 minutes of CGI paid for right there.
You're like, man, Krispy Kreme, you paid some good money for that, didn't you?
Krispy Kreme shelled out some bucks. But, yeah, I thought it was actually really good. I was engaged.
I agree. I was in high school when Power Rangers was around. I was just entering my junior year. And I have to admit that series at first, you know, I used to watch all of them when they came, like all the new, I'm still watching cause cartoons were still on in 93. You know, you still had fall.
MTV used to show music videos.
They still did at that point. They still had Total Request Live. But you know, I remember watching the first few episodes of Power Rangers and being like, ah, this is really, really bad and really campy. I was like, the robots remind me, and understand at the time I had no idea, but I'm like, the robots are just cheap knockoffs of Voltron. Like, you know, little did I know that Voltron was inspired by the original Sentai series, and that the Sentai series is actually what started the whole combining robot thing. But
even Transformers?
Even Transformers. It predates...
So Sentai like
started
old.
In the 70s, man. Okay. Like 72 or 3 is when that series started.
Again, I have no attachment to this property. Yeah. I know nothing about it.
But
on a side note, someone, my friend Molly asked me a question last night, sent me a text like, can you explain Ghost in the Shell? And I'm like, honey, I can't.
Yeah.
It's an anime.
Yeah.
Dave, ask somebody else.
Dave's not good on the animes.
I just, you know what? I live in America. I like American things.
I don't like the animes.
I'm not, I have nothing against Japan. but I am not endlessly fascinated with all their cultural debris like some people are.
But Power Rangers is actually the line that started me on the true path to toy collecting. Like, at the time, I was buying some here and there and kind of having fun. But Power Rangers was what started me. One of my best friends had a car, and I did not have my license yet at that point because I had failed the test twice. that's a story for another day.
Yeah, now I feel super that I've allowed you to drive me across country.
I'm a safe driver. I'm a safe driver.
You've actually driven my car.
I know, right?
Yeah, now that's not happening again.
But we used to go and attend Capital Area Career Center, which at the time was the Capital Area Vocational Center. We were going for film and radio. And we would go in the mornings, and we would get out about 25 minutes, almost a half an hour earlier than school would. So we didn't have to go right back to school. We didn't have to be back at school until after lunch. So we would take that extra half hour and drive across town to Toys R Us every day and go toy hunting every day. And I started buying the Zords. That's where I bought the Megazord set. It's where I bought, when the second season started, it's where I bought the Shogun Zord and all those figures. The Red Dragon Zord. I brought up, the Dragon Zord I found in a Target in Missouri. But that is what started me on toy collecting. And so that series kind of holds a special place in my heart. So, but again, never being a huge fan past probably Turbo, which is, Dave's lost at this point.
I'm aware there was one that was called Turbo.
Going into this film, I wasn't,
I know about Power Rangers, okay? There are Power Rangers.
Yes.
There's the green one who is basically Smurfette. Like, he had Smurfette storyline, where the bad guy made him, and then he turns good, and then he turns white, he changes into the white costume, and then that was like a big mystery, like who was the White Ranger
for a little bit,
and then the Pink Ranger left, and Rita Repulsa's cat became the new Pink Ranger.
Yes, actually, it's pretty much you're pretty much dead on.
And that is what I know about the Power Rangers.
The Power Rangers movie, though, I went into it. I've seen two iterations of these characters on the big screen with the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers movie. In 96.
Sure, why not?
And the Turbo Power Rangers movie a couple of years later. So I kind of, I've seen these characters on the big screen, but this film going in, it was a little different because they were much bigger budgets than the last two films were. There seemed to be a lot of love and care given to it by the director and by the producers, of course, Ham Saban. I was a little taken aback by the designs. The costumes didn't bother me when I first saw them. Yes, they look like Iron Man costumes.
Yeah, the costumes were fine.
But they were fine. The Zords, on the other hand, when they started throwing the Zords, I was like, eh. When they finally showed Goldar and the toys, I was like, oh man, this does not bode well. But seeing it come all together on the big screen, and like Dave said, them actually spend the time to develop everyone except Zach. Well, they did develop Zach. But not as much as everybody else.
Zach and Trini, they basically painted in very quick sketches.
Yes.
It was like they gave them one little detail to make you kind of sympathize with them.
Yes.
But didn't really develop them too much as characters.
Right. But having great development on Jason, on Kimberly, and on Billy especially.
Yeah.
Made everything in that film work so well. The opening sequence of, of the Age of the Dinosaurs, and you find out that the Rangers came to Earth back then, and that the original Red Ranger was Zordon, and the original Green Ranger, which we had all guessed pretty much months and months and months ago, was Rita. Rita was Zordon's closest friend and ally. She turned against the Rangers, killed everyone.
No, she wasn't his closest friend and ally.
She was.
She was a Ranger.
No, she was his closest.
No, because when she's talking to Trini, she's talking about how she was always the outsider. And
well, but Zordon at one point says she was,
I don't think he said that.
He did, too. I was paying attention.
I was paying attention, too.
Uh-huh. Anyway, before Dave and I get into fisticuffs. 1920 style fisticuffs where, yes, where we have our, yes.
They look like kangaroos. Yeah.
But, you know, to find out that... I thought Dave was going to get mad at this, to find out the Power Rangers were the reason why the dinosaurs were killed.
Because they like that's the stupidest thing they've ever done about the dinosaurs getting killed off.
I know. But, you know, getting some great character development on Jason, like I said, Jason, Kimberly, and Billy. The kind of reveal that Zordon was the original Red Ranger. There's kind of a running kind of side plot throughout the first half of the film as Zordon and Alpha were trying to train the Rangers to act like a team in order to morph, because they couldn't morph because they weren't being a team.
Yeah.
Zordon reveals that the reason he needs them to morph is so the morphing grid will become active and he can cross back over and regain his mantle as the Red Ranger.
Well, no, it's more like it's a magic portal that can bring someone back to life.
Yes.
Because he died.
Yeah, he did.
And Alpha transferred him into the wall.
Ship. Yeah.
But if he opens the morphing grid, you can bring back one person from the dead.
Yes. Which is kind of a big deal because towards the end of the film,
well, yeah, they
the Rangers still not being able to morph confront Rita. Rita beats the piss out of them and kills Billy, drowns him basically. And the other Rangers pull him out and then carry him back to the ship and tell Zordon, you have to do something. And then the morphing grid becomes active because they finally all realize that they would lay down their lives for each other. And that's what makes them, you know, that's part of the reason why they are the Power Rangers. And that activates the morphing grid, and Zordon vanishes for a little bit, and then he appears back on the wall, and Alpha's like, that was your chance, what happened? He goes, you know, someone needed to come through, but it was not me. And Billy comes back to life.
Yeah.
And he finally tells Jason, there can only be one Red Ranger, and it's you.
Well, yeah, and that was, you know, Zordon had a little character development, because they had a scene earlier where Jason overhears Zordon's plans and kind of calls him out on it.
Yes.
And so, you know, even Zordon has a little character development going on.
It was a well-rounded film.
It was actually surprisingly well-written.
Yeah, it was well-written.
For a freaking Power Rangers movie.
I'll tell you what, Rita was one of
Rita was in a different movie. But my God. She was great, but she was in a different movie.
Kudos to all the
Rangers are playing these grounded, realistic teenagers, you know, kind of complex, kind of interesting. And Rita's just, she thinks she's on the TV show. God bless her.
Yeah, well, what's the actress's name?
I don't know.
Elizabeth something.
Elizabeth Banks?
Elizabeth Banks. She chewed the scenery so much, and it worked so well.
Like it was a Krispy Kreme donut.
Because she is just, after turning on the Rangers, she becomes the definition of evil, basically. Mm-hmm. And she is pretty sinister. I mean, she visits Trini in her home at night and basically beats the hell out of her and tells her, I've killed Rangers before, I'll kill you just as easy.
Yeah.
You know, either, you know, turn over the location of the Zeo Crystal to me, or I'll kill all of you and kill your families.
Well, there's an earlier scene, because she literally needs gold to build Goldar.
Yes.
And there's a scene where she walks into a gold shop, or a pawn shop or something. It's a shop where they're selling all this gold.
It's a jewelry store. Yeah.
My brain.
Yes.
And like, and by the end of that scene, she's walking out, and everyone in that shop, you know, is dead.
Yes. She's recreating her staff too, and at that point in the movie, the staff she's kind of has it like just handheld kind of thing, and you could tell like the corner piece is made out of dude's jawbone because she killed somebody to rip his jaw apart to take the gold out of his fillings. So it's she's kooky, and yes, she was acting like she was in another movie, but she had her moments of badassery where you're like, oh God, you know, Rita's killing some people. Goldar appears, you know, she finally creates Goldar.
Yeah, Goldar, and... I mean, I didn't hate the design, but, like, I can see why fans would be disappointed, because he was kind of just into nothing.
Yeah.
He was a big thing.
Big blob of gold, basically.
Big blob of gold. No personality.
The introduction of the Zords was great. You know, the introduction of the Power Rangers, realizing their powers and testing them.
Because one thing I didn't like about Power Rangers, the show, I always thought was stupid, and I had the same issue mostly with, like, it happens with Voltron a lot. I think occasionally they do it, but like it was cool because like they used the freaking Zords.
Yes.
Usually on Power Rangers, it's like the Zords show up and then they form the Megazord.
Yes.
Like you never actually see the Zords do anything on their own.
No.
And in this one, they actually like do stuff. Like,
yeah.
They fight with the Zords first. They don't even know that they can do them.
Yeah, they don't know that they can become the Megazord.
Yeah. So that was cool. I like watching the Zords actually fight.
Yeah. And then of course that was one of the moments that kind of was like was when they're getting pushed into the hole and they're all trying to hold on to each other. Through the Zord, you know, they're trying to hold on to each other's Zords, and they get pushed in the hole, and you think, well, they're going to die, and then they come out.
I didn't think they were going to die. I think they were going to come out. I've seen movies before. So I knew that. I knew like, that's really, when the Megazord was going to be.
Oh, we're
going
to die! Oh no, we lied. Here we are.
Yeah, no, I knew exactly what was going
to
happen.
I'd seen some people upset, like the one bit. Well, not the one bit. There was quite a bit of fan service in this movie, but the one major fan service moment that were like, that took me out of the movie was they finally get all the Zords like running into battle together, and you hear the first, you know, couple lines of the iconic. Up until the point where they start singing Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, because the film isn't Mighty Morphin, it's just Power Rangers. So you get the whole
go Power Rangers.
Yeah. Yeah, which to me, okay, it's fan service, but that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't have done that movie and not have had that theme in
Come
there.
On.
That is actually.
People actually complain about having the theme in the. Some people would be madder that it wasn't really used that
and
much.
And I read a story from the director that almost wasn't in the movie. He was very much against, like, no, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And Ham Saban was like, you have to put this in the movie. It has to be in the movie. Like, trust me, it has to be in the movie. So they cut that version of just using that snippet with the Zords, and the director was finally like, oh my God, he's right. Like, I could not have seen this movie without this theme now. So it worked really well. It was a lot of fun, though. And there was a nice little cameo at the end of Jason David Frank and Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah.
Taking video and pictures of the Megazord.
Yeah, after the battle's over, everyone pulls out their phones.
Yeah,
which was
and
cute.
Of course, yeah. It was a nice moment, and then they're like, oh, like the original Kimberly and Tommy ended up together in that universe, technically.
I guess.
And of course...
They could just be random people standing next to each other on the street.
Yeah.
You're projecting.
I know. And of course, the film ends with a mid-credits scene, basically teasing the introduction of Tommy Oliver, the Green Ranger, who... we will probably get, because the film ends, basically they defeated Rita and launched her into space.
They pimp slapped her into space,
which plays off an earlier moment of the film.
It does, actually.
Yeah, it does actually play off an earlier moment of the film. And she gets launched into space, but without her power coin and her staff. So somewhere that power coin is just, either they couldn't find it to retrieve it, or, you know, because they never give it to Zordon in the film. Jason just shows back on the ship in his Power Ranger outfit and inserts his sword into the thing of the ship, and Zordon's like, you'll need that. And Jason's like, I'll be back for it. Which is basically like, trust me, there'll be a sequel. Movie opened pretty strong. I think it opened about $40 million.
It was number one in the box office.
Was it number one, or was
Beauty
and the Beast?
I believe it was number one.
I thought Beauty and the Beast still kind of beat...
I don't know.
Yeah, it was Power Rangers opened with $40.5 million. Beauty the Beast still killed the box office, but Power Rangers right now is working at about $65 million. It's only been out this week. This week it'll probably see more business, I would imagine. It's gotten great. Like the critics destroyed it in a lot of places, but if you go to like Rotten Tomatoes gives it a pretty bad score. I think the critics part of it was 46% rotten.
Wow.
But the audience score is like 80% liked it. So audiences are
it's not a... The weird thing is it feels like a movie that critics should like, because it's actually really well done.
Yes, it's really...
But I mean, you know, the big summer blockbusters usually don't get good.
No. But, you know, it's gotten some, you know... Audiences are going to see it. They like it. They're giving it 3- and 4-star ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. People are going to return to see it again. I know a lot of people have taken their kids to see it. Kids are going to want to go to see it again, because
it's generally pretty kid friendly.
There's a couple of family movies, but there's nothing like action family kind of thing right
now.
Until Guardians Volume 2 hits.
It's a good one for like 7 to 12 year olds.
Yes,
you know, because that's kind of a weird. They want to watch the action movies, because our friend Bill. Semi kind of tangential, but
yes.
You know, he actually sent me a text, or he asked me, you know, what I thought about Iron Fist, you know, whether it would be good for, you know, whether a kid could watch it. And I was like, it gets really gory in some parts.
Yeah.
And he's like, ow, you know, cause he's got a son about that age.
Yep.
He'd really like to share this stuff with him, cause he loves the Netflix stuff, but it's also really violent. And,
yes. And language and.
Yeah. So Power Rangers would be a good thing for that.
Yeah, I agree. Overall, I liked it. I thought it was a good movie. I look forward to, hoping it still. It hasn't opened up everywhere overseas yet. I think it still has a number of places to open up overseas.
Is it going to open in China?
It is, I believe. I'm trying to see if it shows
the foreign. I don't think there are any ghosts.
It has opened. Here's the places it's opened so far: Iceland, the Netherlands, New Zealand, Norway, Slovenia, South Africa. So it has not opened in China. Has not opened in Japan.
Yeah, that's some pretty. Yeah, Japan would be a pretty big market, I would imagine, for the film.
I'm trying to see when it's Power Rangers foreign release dates.
I don't know that we really need to get that deep into the the weeds.
Maybe. Looks like we get. Looks like it opens up. Mostly, I'm looking for Hong Kong. It opens March 23rd, so it open. Well, what? I don't know why it.
Because Hong Kong's separate and different. And weird. They got that back from the British.
It doesn't open in Japan until July 15th.
Like an experiment.
July 15th is when it opens up in its home country, which is super weird.
Yeah, it's not its home country, though.
Well, Power Rangers originated.
I know it originated there, but this is a very Americanized.
Yeah, it is. But it'll probably be well received in Japan.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it was. I really did like the movie. It was really good. It was really well done. It was a lot of fun. I look forward to seeing another iteration of it on screen because with those characters, all of those actors, the kids were all
unknowns. They were all very good,
and they were all amazing in their roles. Like all of them nailed those characterizations perfectly, and the fact that you had like they made a big deal about Trini being a lesbian. They touch on it like once, and then never frickin' again.
It's very roundabout too. You've got to be paying attention to get what she's talking about.
Kimberly is kind of the ex mean girl and cheerleader turned, you know.
Yeah, hers was the one backstory that was kind of a dud as far as I was concerned.
You know, Jason, who was the star football player who made some bad decisions.
Well, he felt he had a hard time dealing with the pressure of being the leader of the football team. And that was his thing, was to come around and accept leadership and, you know.
Billy, who is basically on the spectrum.
Yeah, he's autistic.
He is autistic.
And they've said that the actor went out and actually, you know, worked with some autistic people.
Yes. So he was amazing. Zach was kind of like this daredevil kind of.
Zach was the guy that acts like he doesn't care about anything, and then you find out that he's taking care of his sick mother.
His sick mother, yeah. Yeah. So all of the characters were well done, though. It's a good movie. You know, I liked it. I think when it comes out on Blu-ray, it'll be one that I purchase. Just because.
I don't know if I go that far, but I liked it. I'm not mad at you for dragging me to go see it.
Right. We will go see Kong soon. I promise.
Hopefully.
I promise.
I'd like to. I'm thinking I'm going to get you back, though, with probably the Alien Covenant.
Yeah.
I'll drag you to that. That'll be your version of drag to something.
Well, and I'll probably drag you to Ghost in the Shell as well, so.
Oh, I don't know if you're going to pull that one off.
Oh, no.
I don't care.
I know, but.
I aggressively don't care.
I want to see it because it's ScarJo, and, well, ScarJo's hot.
Fair enough, but she's like a robot ScarJo.
Well, you know what? I'm okay with that.
Stuff could get caught in gears.
Well, it may. It's a possibility.
No.
I was looking to see what was playing at our drive-in this weekend, because if both of those are playing together, we may just go see it there.
What, Kong and...
Yeah, I don't think they've announced the weekends yet, but last weekend was like Lego Batman Movie and Kong, and then the other screen was Power Rangers and John Wick 2.
Yeah, I remember, because
we were going to
try to scheme a thing, and it didn't work.
Yeah, it didn't work, so, oh well, we'll see what happens. Well, there you go, guys. That'll wrap up this episode of David DeVos Toys and Collectibles for you this week. Check out our sponsor, Shelled Comics, the Shelled Comics blog, and more at shelledcomics.com, and make sure you tune in next week. And until then, David?
You don't have to go home. Go home, but you can't stay here.
You can't stay here! The Toy Bar Peeps is closed. Peace out.